Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Hallinan. He's not just my guest. He's one of the employee owners of Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online. We're here till 11 o'clock. I know it's cold. So if you're shopping, you're not out at the mall. Who does that anymore? You're cuddled up in front of your computer, like my wife, who I keep getting Discover Charge notices. She's obviously shopping online, which is fine. Feel free to help us out here on the radio program. If you have any comments, questions, and concerns, we're here to help you with those. And we're going to go to Laura in Cheshire, who wants to talk about a webcam. What's happening there, Laura?
Hey, good morning. First of all, happy holidays to both of you.
Thanks,
you Thank you for this service. You've helped me out in the past, so I'm coming back again. Right. I'm interested in a webcam. I have a built-in webcam in the HP computer that I'm using, but for some reason, even despite trying to clean it, it's very, very fuzzy. And I had the very embarrassing experience the other day of doing an open mic via Zoom. And while they could hear me okay, they could barely see me. I don't know, maybe that was a good thing. But so what I'm really looking for is a webcam that can accommodate, good audio for musical type things, but also, obviously a decent, visual. Mm-hmm. And would I need anything in particular? What would you recommend? Any brands you would recommend that might be good for that kind of thing?
I mean, the brands that I've always recommended, it would be Logitech. They've been doing webcams forever. So if you look at their series of webcams, they've got ones that simply will clip on top of the monitor or laptop screen. Do you love?
I was going to say, Logitech is where I would go, but yeah. they have all kinds of webcams, including features like that can track you, where you stand it up. It's freestanding, and it'll have an eye, and it will actually look for a person's face. Mm-hmm. And as you move around, it has a little bit of robotic movement, and it will actually track your face. So they can get very involved. I mean, those are obviously quite a bit more expensive than the little ones that prop up on top of a monitor.
Right.
But you can get some nice features. So when you're shopping for one, I would look at those features, think about whether those would be useful to you, and then make your decision from that. I wouldn't just go in and say, oh, yeah, well, that webcam is $35. That's the cheapest one. I'm going to buy it. I would actually look at the features. What do they do? Mm-hmm. Are they helpful for you? The other thing that I would suggest is that anything that has a larger microphone is going to be better for things like music.
Definitely.
Okay. Because it has a larger surface area where it's collecting that sound.
Okay.
And it will have a better, it'll just pick up the sound a lot better and then transmit it.
Yep.
Okay. And is there anything I should look for in terms of, I think this is the right terminology, like megapixels or anything like that? Is there like a, you know, a standardized?
Yeah, I mean, 1080p is to 4K, right? You get 4K video is like everybody's doing 4K.
Okay.
You don't need such high resolution for a webcam, but
yeah, yeah. If you're doing things high like def. Zoom and Teams meetings, 1080p would be the resolution.
Yeah, it's plenty,
and that would be more than enough.
But if you're going to use a webcam to like record a performance, then maybe you do want to record it in 4K.
True.
Especially if it's for music and stuff like that. So, you know, it's kind of a mixture of what you're trying to do with the tool.
Yeah. Okay. It's a little bit of all of it, but okay. I understand. That's really helpful. At least it gives me some guidelines to start looking around.
Awesome.
Okay. Well, as always, I appreciate your help.
Thank you, Laura. Thanks for checking in.
Okay. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Yeah, there's lots of options out there.
Pan and tilt, all that stuff.
There's even blogger cams out there that would actually, like you said, kind of follow you around. They don't do so well yet. Like there's a DJI blogger style cam that's out there that is really more designed for while you're walking around and moving rather than having it like pan tilt.
And keep up with you in a particular location.
Yeah. And if you're looking for a conference room cam, the owl cams are amazing. They sit in the middle of the conference room table. And to Dennis's point, they don't actually have any robotics. They just have a 360-degree view.
Uh-huh.
And when the person talks, the owl cam then just focuses on that person.
Right. It just sends a frame that contains that person out of all of the visual data that it gets, which is 360 degrees.
Yeah. It's really a neat device. So. Lots of innovation happening there. Let's go to Tracy in Barkhamsted next. Hello, Tracy.
Hi there.
What can we do for you?
Well, years ago, I was told to, get a Chromebook or something like that just to do my banking only on, that it would keep it safer that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that Chromebook is probably more than 10 years old and now not interfacing with the bank anymore.
Maybe not.
So I don't know if I should invest in another little Chromebook and just keep it separate like I have all these years, or is there a better way to do that now?
Well, we've had this call recently, too. Like, you know, I still think you should have a separate device for those types of things. It's back to Clark Howard days when he would recommend it. You know, you don't want to have a thing that you might use for recreation be also the thing you use for banking and financial planning, because again, who knows where you're going to go? And then of course there's vulnerabilities that occur when you go and surf those locations. So, you know, tablets are out there, you know, you can get larger tablets these days that, you know, will work well with some of these apps. I'm really disappointed still in Chromebook, where you try to load your banking app on the Chromebook. It just doesn't work. I couldn't even load a Yale app on my Chromebook to even have it work properly, just to manage a smart lock. Yeah, it's just stupid. Oh. And you're looking at this heavy, you know, laptop that, you know, is all it is a browser. Now, Android is going to be coming out. Google is going to be coming out with Android-based laptops. Now, when that happens, that'll be another option versus these crappy Chromebooks as far as having a real operating system that we know works with apps rather than having these two separate types. But maybe consider a tablet. We've had callers check in with us on that, and we've recommended some Samsung tablets, where, again, the tablet is just designed. You're only going to use it for your work, but you may need a keyboard to deal with any kind of typing you're going to want to do. Or, yes, you can get another Chromebook, or wait for the Android laptops that are coming out. Or Apple. I mean, you can choose a different manufacturer. And even Windows if you want to. But I would avoid Windows if you can avoid Windows for this type of stuff.
Yeah. They suggested that I just buy another separate laptop and directed me toward the Windows ones, and I was like, "Well, I don't know about that."
Yeah, and you could,
so
you could, as long as
anything,
you don't.
But...
Yeah, as long as you don't use it for anything else, right? That's the hard part. You're going to probably use it for other things.
Well, yeah, tempted to be anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just me, so I can make sure that I don't have it used for anything else. But if a tablet is easy enough to do, then that's simpler to just store for that sort of a thing, I think.
Right, because if you use a tablet that has a, that has the ability to deal with apps, right, now your banking app's going to work, right? So if you're doing any kind of financial planning through Fidelity or Vanguard or whatever you're using, you can use browser-based stuff there and even app-based stuff there with that. So it's just a thought to go to an Android-based operating system. The Chromebook had so much promise because all of us thought eventually those apps would be more ubiquitous across both platforms, but the developers don't seem to want to write apps for these Chromebooks. They are just focusing on the mobile, which makes sense, but lots of those apps do not work in a Chromebook environment, which is just awful. It's very frustrating because that's that was my hope for it, and it didn't work out, and I think it was a lot of people's hope.
Okay. All right.
All right, Trace.
So I'll go look for maybe a Samsung tablet then.
Take a look at it, yeah, and see, and check the one with a keyboard if you have to do any kind of typing.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Trace.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Keeping it separate is definitely a good idea, though.
Yes. Yeah, that's step one.
Because if you have other people using your computer, whether it be your middle school kid doing his homework, and then you sit down and do your financial planning on it, and who knows where that kid went 2 hours before you were doing your financial planning, and now you get a keylogger on your thing, or who knows where they went, right? That's the reason it's kind of a recommended practice, if you can, to separate these functions. If you have good security technologies and you don't have a 15-year-old boy also uses the machine, you're probably okay. but our whole career is protecting our customers from Microsoft.
Right.
Everything we do is to protect them from Microsoft. Even Microsoft this year themselves said they're going to finally focus on security.
That's right.
Right?
Wow. Amazing. After what? 40 years of whatever they've been doing?
Yeah, whatever they've been doing is the key. So in other news, before we go to a break here, Salt Typhoon. So you probably heard this in the news. I heard it a lot last week while I was off. It turns out the Chinese have been attacking our telecommunications companies, the Verizons, the T-Mobiles of the world, trying to get in their systems. And, of course, reading our texts. We kind of talked about this. Yep. And we've talked about this being a problem for a very long time. The Verizons, the T-Mobiles, these folks, the people who are on the other side, the customer service reps, are easily compromised. Lots of them have been implemented. I shouldn't say lots. Enough of them have been implicated in SIM jacking schemes where there's an inside person, there's a bad guy who realizes you have a big crypto wallet, and they basically work with the inside person at the telco and say they steal their SIM so that when the two-factor authentication comes in, the second factor goes to another phone. That's usually very easy to compromise when it comes to the inside people. Well, the FCC are saying, look, you guys have to start locking down your systems. Now, it's a little too late. We're all leaving these texting systems, and even Verizon no longer is offering them, right? I think that recently happened, right, Dennis?
Yes, it did. Yep.
So we're going to see what's going to happen here with the FCC forcing these telecommunications companies to finally lock down their systems. But they've never said they're security companies. They just offer you data and cell service.
Right.
That's all they do.
Right.
And
they move the bits around.
Yeah. So nobody asked them to become a security company where they would deal with 2FA to actually lock down your accounts. They just said, fine, yeah, you can text. You can use texting for that function. But now with the fact that the Chinese have actually been reading our texts and listening to our phone calls, they're going to actually be asked to lock this down. But now, thankfully, the technology is out there again with encrypted texting apps. Not that you're doing anything wrong. You can go ahead and load Signal and use that to send encrypted text messages point to point between recipients. That way, the bad guys can't, or any guys, can't read your messages. I mean, it's none of their business.
That's right.
Whatever you might be sending. So keep that in mind. We'll put a link up here for that. We'll see how this goes, but the FBI is recommending not to have you text between other parties, which of course is not going to not happen. You're going to keep doing it. We all know that. But if you want a more secure way of doing it, these apps are out there for you. Signal is one. WhatsApp is another. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Proton will be coming out with something.
Oh, I would think so.
I would hope so,
oh,
actually.
Yeah.
So anything else you wanted to add to that, Dennis?
Well, no. What I did want to say is we've following up on this snafu with Salt Typhoon,
mm-hmm.
We've got some senators that are weighing in on all of this. And, you know, they've been kind of lifting a banner. One of them is Ron Wyden, but he's been on this for a long time. And at this point, as far as I can see, for him, it's a case of, I told you so. Right. I mean, he's been on it. So,
yeah, Ron and Senator Wyden has been talking about it a lot. He's out in the West Coast there, like Washington or Oregon.
Oregon,
yeah. So he's had a lot of forward thinking discussions about the lack of cybersecurity here in America. So pay attention to that guy. He's got his head on a little tighter than most senators, which is kind of nice. But we'll put this link up here for you. We're going to step out for a quick break. Four lines open for you. If you want to help the Salvation Army and WTIC Holiday Store, text WTIC. Just as I tell you about how insecure the cell services are, I want you to text WTIC to 31333. Why is this okay? Well, it's encrypted. You're just texting to bring up an app. The app then allows you to go ahead and make a donation, and you can use all sorts of payment methods that are secure again. The function of texting is this number is nothing for you to worry about, and the app again is going to be secure. So you can feel comfortable to go ahead and put a credit card in there and support the Salvation Army and its mission to help our community. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. We're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. I know it's 10:30. This is when you all seem to call in. Right now, four lines wide open. And we're here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns, or maybe what you're planning on getting for technology. One of the things that we used to tell people is that if you wanted to help Santa out, when you purchase some sort of technology, lots of times after you've opened it, it needs to be updated.
Very often, especially these days.
Yeah, the gaming systems, you know, the Xboxes, the PlayStations that Santa might deal with. So if you want to be a Santa's helper, get those things plugged in and updated. Otherwise, the recipient is going to be waiting for hours, depending on your bandwidth, to download a terabyte update, whatever's going on there. I mean, it's always part of the fun. Oh, here we go. Let's get ready to play. Oh, it needs a terabyte update. So then you're back upstairs watching, you know, A Christmas Story for the 80th time.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
No, of course not.
There's probably more things you want to tell.
Yeah. But it's one of those things. It's still a thing. These updates are amazing. It's like everything's been sitting on the shelf for 7 months. But then again, it has been sitting on the shelf probably across the sea. And then it finally shows up Santa's workshop, and then he brings it to you over that one night there, and it has a lot of updating to do. So make sure you keep that in mind. So, Dennis, what do we got? Anything newsworthy we want to bring up these for now?
We've discussed some of the problems with the self-driving car services.
Oh, we have. Yes, we have.
Yeah, like Waymo and some of the other ones.
I think I know what you're going to talk about.
Which one? The one that we're going to talk about is probably going to be going away very soon.
Yep.
It's called Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
It was mostly GM's project.
Right.
And they have pulled all of their funding for it.
Yeah, I saw a big parking lot of Cruise vehicles just sitting there.
Yeah, and it looks like it's going away.
I think that was the one that GM's Cruise was the one that had to be intervened with like every 5 minutes
yes,
by a
human.
Yes, that's
the one.
So just imagine
that. Yeah, they had a whole battery of people just standing by monitoring them.
Right, just in case.
And in real time, you know, sending out directions or commands or whatever they needed to do to keep these things on the road and not hitting stuff.
Right, so you see grandma walking across the street. Somebody in the third world is going to swerve for you because the Cruise would have just, talk about getting hit by a reindeer. You're getting hit by a Cruise. Yeah, this whole self-driving thing is it's going to be wonderful when it happens. I really think it is. I don't know about you guys, but I spend more time in the HOV lanes now in Connecticut just to get off the highway because there are just still crazy people out there driving a bazillion miles an hour. Now, there are more police presence than I've seen in a long time, which is nice. So hopefully they're pulling these jerks over and taking their keys away for crying out loud. But when self-driving cars come into play, we'll be a lot safer. If they work.
What? Right.
Yeah.
Not the ones we have right now.
No. Once they work.
Right.
So, I mean, Tesla still has issues with, you know, slamming into, you know, emergency vehicles. They're being sued again for yet another
death. And that's when there's somebody behind the wheel.
I know. So. Yeah. The cruise folks had, you know, again, had to be remote controlled every 5 minutes, I think it is. We can probably find that story as well for you. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. It's another half an hour. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you follow us on Facebook over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network, you can go ahead and join that group. We'll let you in. You get all the posts there as well. And if you don't want to miss a show, download the Odyssey app or subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your favorite podcast. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, so feel free to get online. And we do have a caller on there. Adam out there in East Hartford wants to talk about self-driving vehicles. Hey, Adam. What's up?
Yeah, gentlemen, and good morning. And thank you for a great program every week. I always listen.
Thanks.
And I deliver some electronics during the collection day.
Oh, great.
Hey, but what I complain about, those self-driving cars,
yeah,
it wouldn't be such a problem if people did what they were supposed to do to behind the wheel. In other words, there were some incidents out in California. I can't afford a Tesla or a self-driving car, but there were some incidents out in California where some people got run over by their own cars. But see, if I park a vehicle and the engine's running, because say I need to check the transmission oil or you just need to run out and get something and you're right next to it.
Yeah.
Not only am I going to put it in park, but I set the parking brake because sometimes I work for a utility and sometimes I park between me and the gate.
Mm.
And I don't want that thing to bump. So if you have a self-driving car that's electric, it would behoove you to not only besides putting it in park if you're running idle for a little bit, but to set that parking brake.
You're probably not wrong. The idea, though, of the self-driving car is it's supposed to see you
and
not run into you.
Yeah,
the AI should have been trained to see Adam standing right in front of it and not have it do that. But you're probably right. I don't even know if there is a parking brake because electric motors like that are either running or they're not. So the torque is built in, really, right?
Yeah. And then the other thing issue too is, like I said, a lot of them they wouldn't like have their hands on the wheel or their eyes on the on the road, the human driver. They just were maybe doing something else, talking on the phone or reading the book. Who knows, you know?
Well, you're right. But this is even worse than that. So, Adam, these cruise devices had no driver in front. There was no wheel. Well, there might have been a wheel, but the idea is they don't want to have a wheel.
Right.
And so there was, you literally sit in the back seat and the car would drive itself. So literally self-driving. And you're talking more about the assisted cruise control that's on my wife's 2018 Honda minivan that is almost as good as the Tesla. But I mean, Tesla people are going to yell at me about that. But you got to pay for your upgrade. I didn't. you have to pay for it. So, you know, when it comes to these assisted cruise controls, people were treating them like self-driving cars, and then they were, you know, going to sleep, but they would run into stationary vehicles because the self-driving, that cruise control piece couldn't see the standard stationary vehicle. It would just run right into the back of like a fire truck, which is an awful thing to do.
Right.
So, but you're right. I mean, putting these things in park and stuff like that and making sure they're safe so they don't hit you is a good idea until finally they recognize you as something not to hit. But then again, if Skynet happens, maybe they're going to want to hit you.
Exactly. Hey, it's holiday season. Watch out for the other driver, all right?
You got it, Adam. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
You too. Bye-bye. But yeah, self-driving cars, I mean, scary stuff.
So definitely.
Did you want to talk about something before we go to the next call?
Yeah, let's see what we got here.
I think it was the AI from Apple's AI.
Oh, Apple AI, yeah. It's been misrepresenting some stories. In particular, it botched a headline for a BBC News article.
Yeah.
And BBC actually complained about it. They said, hey, what are you guys doing?
Yeah,
this is not what we reported.
Right.
Your AI made the story into something completely different.
Complete hallucination. Yeah. It's basically it had to do with the UnitedHealthcare suspect. It said the actual AI summarized the article, the BBC article, as the perpetrator shooting himself. Got it completely wrong. So this is Apple's AI, right? So that's how far away we are. If you want to know if this is bubbly or not, if this is really kind of not there yet, that's a great example of Apple, one of the smartest and heck most valuable companies on the planet, botching the article to that extent. So again, AI is just predicting the next word. It's not using intelligence to actually discern anything.
Right. It doesn't know the semantic content of the words. It just knows the words themselves.
And so it just assumed artificially and put out this botched headline. So if AI can't do this right, what else is it not going to get right until it finally does? We'll put this article out there for you to look at. But the point is, too, now, with all of us using AI, lots of folks are using AI to generate content. AI needs real human content to get smarter. And the problem is it's starting to look at AI-generated content. So who knows if this Apple AI got this content from the BBC or it got it from some other AI-generated content.
It might have.
And then just barfed it up incorrectly because the other AI put it out incorrectly. Kind of like how, remember when Bing first came out as a search engine?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were using Google search engine to actually generate the results.
Originally, yeah.
Same idea here. If the AI is using other people's AI, or this is just bad AI, but the BBC is not
happy.
It could
be that. Oh, yeah, they're not. And I mean, AI is great, but you've got to vet it.
Correct.
You have to. You have to have human eyeballs on it just to make sure it's right.
Right. All right. So we'll put that link up there for you. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Dan in East Windsor next and see what he's got going on. What's going on, Dan?
Yeah. Hey, I just downloaded the Windows 10 ISO using the Microsoft's own media creation tool.
Okay.
And I went to use Rufus to create the installer because I like to be able to disable BitLocker automatic device encryption. And Rufus is showing that the ISO that I've selected contains a bootloader which has been revoked and will generate a security error if I try to use it.
Hmm. Where'd you get the ISO? Is it from a legitimate source?
Oh, he got it from Microsoft using
Microsoft's own media creation tool.
Own downloader tool. Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't catch that.
And I even went in and tried to select a different one, one that I had previously downloaded, you know, not using the media creation tool, but downloading it through the actual Microsoft website, the downloading the actual ISO, and that said the same thing.
All right, so they.
I'm wondering if Microsoft is pulling something nefarious to try to make everybody use Windows 11.
I doubt that.
This is just incompetence.
Either the ISO is getting corrupted by its own tool,
right,
or there's something about Rufus that's just not recognizing it correctly.
Yeah.
Dude, what is Rufus for folks who don't know?
Rufus is a program that will write bootable USB drives.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use it with all kinds of operating systems. You can create bootable Windows, you know, installer drives. You can also create bootable Linux drives, all kinds of stuff.
Could it be Rufus is not up to speed?
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
If Rufus is just not recognizing this ISO correctly.
Is there another tool like Rufus that folks could use? I don't play in the sandbox
There are several.
Several, yeah. Anything you'd recommend?
Balena. B-A-L-E-N-A.
Yeah,
it's called Balena Etcher. That's actually what I use at home.
Yeah, I've actually used that before to create install media for Chrome-like, you know, OS alternatives.
Mm-hmm. Well, Balena is geared more toward Linux drives, but it will create Windows bootable drives too. It's not a problem.
So the test would be to see if that tool works better than Rufus.
Yeah, I would try the same ISOs and with Balena Etcher and see what it comes up with.
I mean, it's the same Rufus tool that I've been using all along. It's the most current one's 4.6.
Yep, but it's not working today.
It's all a question. Something has gone wrong here, but we're talking about two different things, and both of them could have the error.
Right.
So that's where we're...
See, that's the thing about
computers.
That's
the dance that we're doing here.
Yeah, and you're, Dan, it sounds like you've been in IT for a while, but...
No, I'm actually not in IT. I'm just a hobbyist.
Okay. Well, unlike like a hammer, that always is a hammer, right? It doesn't change.
Yeah.
Every single tool we use, no matter how long we use it, gets updated and changed. So whether it looks like what it did yesterday versus today, if there's an update or a service pack or a different version of operating system, it's always different. It's always a different recipe you're using with the same concepts, but different recipes.
Yeah.
So try the other tools. See if that works.
Yeah. And I'm also going to try an older version of Rufus, which I still have on my computer, see if that works, too.
That might work, too. Yeah. That's worth a shot.
I just thought I'd run it by you. I didn't know if you'd heard anything, that this was a known issue or not.
Not that we know, but it could be.
Not that I'm aware of.
And we did a little searching and didn't find
it. Yeah, we didn't find anything to mention this particular issue. So it might be a very new thing, and you're one of the first people to hit it. That's always a possibility.
Yep.
Yeah, I got to take out of that. Like when I have to call Verizon or anybody else for something going wrong, and the person's, you know, on the phone, I said, well, we haven't had any reports of it. I'm like, yeah, well, there's always the first one.
There's always the first one. Yep, exactly.
All right. Thanks, man.
You got it. Bye-bye. It is funny that way, right? You're looking for the one example, but depending on what you're trying to do and the version you're downloading.
Yeah, and Rufus in particular, in addition to just creating bootable drives, it will modify them.
Mm-hmm.
People are using it to modify Windows 11 installer ISOs so that they can install them on older computers that wouldn't normally support it.
Right.
And that's another variable in this, because it's actually reading the content of the ISO, trying to figure out what little pieces to change inside of it.
Right.
And the program, the Rufus program itself, has to be intelligent enough to do that analysis and do it right.
And be up to date with all the operating systems that are coming out.
That are coming out, right.
Yeah.
So it's... And if there's anything wrong with that logic, it could have produced that error that he's got.
Let's go to New Haven and MJ. What's happening, MJ?
Good morning.
Morning.
I have two webcam questions.
All right.
Do you know if webcams exist that have recording capabilities, to somewhat analogous to like a DVR, where you can have a start time and an end time, and everything that the webcam saw during that time gets recorded?
There are ways to record the webcam content. There is a camera app in Windows, and I don't know if it can do some recording. But
a dash cam does that.
A dash cam, yeah. And there's software that comes with a lot of those webcams, and that software may do the recording too.
Okay, you touched on my second question. Would you have any idea if there are webcams that could double as a dash cam?
I wouldn't go that route. I would go to the dash cam route to find the right tool for the job, so it properly mounts and properly installs and all that fun stuff, versus trying to shoehorn a webcam into that role. You know what I mean? Because the dash cams out there are pretty amazing as far as what they do. They'll even, some of them will track your location. Some will even stream to your cell phone, so you could do live streams of the idiots on our highways. And put a YouTube out there and make all sorts of money and just watching these ding-dongs flying around the highway.
Yeah, and dash cams will have internal storage for your recordings,
yeah.
Whereas a webcam isn't going to have that.
Right.
You've got to have yet another device to connect to it
to capture
that recording data, whatever you're using, a laptop, a tablet, whatever.
Yeah.
So you're introducing another cog into your works, and...
I've seen videos like on YouTube of installing dash cams. They always seem to be, off, kind of involved. I'm looking for a KISS method dash cam where, they could just hook it up and it
yes.
works.
Well, I agree with you. They do seem to be difficult sometimes as far as hiding the wires and running them through the molding and all that fun stuff. I've seen those same videos. So I'll just kind of defer it back to my my thermostat, right? Fourth gen thermostat from the Nest, and it took three guys 6 hours to try to run a wire up to my bedroom. $1,800 later, they said, "Eric, would you mind if we use a doohickey to make this work?" I'm like, "Go ahead, doohickey away," and now I've got a wireless wire.
Are these the same guys that were working on your cooler down in Florida that you couldn't get in contact with?
The cooler
a couple of weeks ago, there was a show where you got a call from someone. I guess you have property down in Florida.
Yeah,
telling you that your refrigerator or something wasn't working.
Yes. Yep. All the same thing. All this technology, right? The more you try to make it simple, like you said, it's not. It's the antithesis. But I would tell you, if you try to use a product that's not that product's design, you're going to have more trouble. So I would tell you to research good dash cams. I luckily won one at the Tab Christmas party last night. So I'm going to try to see how this one works. It was recommended by my fellow employees as a gift to give out. So, you want to, when it comes to keep it simple, it's just a matter of trying to find the most easy to use product. But trying to use a different product, I think, would be a bad idea. It's going to make your hair hurt.
Okay, I don't have much hair left to hurt, but I
neither do we.
Yeah, neither do we.
So that's what happened after 45 years of being in IT. I used to have a head of hair left.
I know, man.
Like Bush money.
I had such a mullet, man. It was such a good thing in the old days, but it's gone now.
Yeah. All right, thanks for your input.
All right, MJ. Yeah, try to use some other tool is not usually a good idea. I don't think that's a great way to go. I think we have to step out, right, Carolyn? Carolyn's not even listening to the program. She's like, whatever. Should I step out? Take a quick break? All right, we're going to step out, take a quick break, get back to your calls. 860-522-984 is the number. We'll be right back. Oh. They don't make Christmas carols like this anymore. But Gary Hoey does. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. No line. You guys are, you're all shopping. I know you are. Lines are wide open. Anything you want to chat about there, Dennis, as far as technology news or why your refrigerator is not talking to you? I'll tell you one thing, too. Actually, I was away in Florida. I was away last week, and I put in that highfalutin, fancy Gen 4 thermostat, right, here in, here in Connecticut. And I was just sitting there in Florida, and I said to myself, you know what? I'll just go check to see how the thermostats are doing. Just thought I'd check.
Okay.
They're both offline.
Oh.
No power. And they had been off for 50 hours.
What?
Yes. So clearly I didn't set a setting right on the notifications, right?
Because
you'd want the notification to tell you when it's not there. right? But sometimes of these smart devices is the smart device has to be online in order to be smart. So, but in this case, I think it was a setting that it would have warned me. Now, thankfully, here in Connecticut, it wasn't like today, like it wasn't like 12 degrees out. So my pipes didn't freeze. And I had my poor son have to go over there, and he spent another 4 hours with the same people who spent 6 hours getting him installed in the first place, and they found a short. Now, they're the ones that did the connection, so the short's on them. I didn't do nothing. It shorted out somehow. They must have had something a little loose inside one of the two sides of it, and the thermostats went offline. But this is back to notifications and monitoring, right? You have this smart technology. I'm trying to convince my wife to spend this money, and thankfully she's being very nice about the $1,800. I clearly could have froze my pipes if the thing was colder. But the point is, you put this technology in, you just can't assume, right? You have to go through the steps. And some of these apps are not obvious when it comes to how to configure it. Some of them are false positives, and you have to set things in the negative that actually becomes a positive as far as how the thing reports to you. But it was really disappointing that the fourth generation Nest didn't send me an email, didn't send me a text, didn't send anything, didn't say anything about being offline for 50 solid hours.
Well, if it's offline, how is it going to do anything
like that?
That's
the problem. I had power, right? My home is up. Yeah. Thankfully, I had some electric heat in the basement that was running. We would have probably saved pipes. My point is, don't rely on it, right? You gotta just make sure you set these alerts. We showed up at the place down in Florida, and the refrigerator was off.
Oh.
And I have a smart refrigerator, and it didn't tell me it was off.
That's not a very smart refrigerator.
It's not. And to your point again, it couldn't tell me because it was off. And sometimes these apps, the app should be trying to ping the refrigerator and say, hey, buddy, are you on? Are you on? Are you on?
Yeah, there should be external to the device monitoring to check on it.
Right. And the app would be this. See, that's the whole promise of the cloud. The cloud is that supposed to be that thing.
Right.
That's supposed to go talk to your Internet of Things and say, hey, Internet of Thing, buddy, are you on? Because, you know, Eric's going to want to come in there and find a cold beer. But no. That's not what I found. I found a 68-degree refrigerator. That you know how to fix. You want to, when you walk in and you know how to fix a smart refrigerator that's been off for, I don't know, weeks?
No.
So believe it or not, this is the most amazing, stupid thing I've ever seen. You unplug it.
Okay, from the wall.
Yep. You pull the thing away from the wall. You reach back there and you yank the plug.
Okay.
You wait 5 minutes and you plug it back in. And it comes back on.
Wow.
That's the technology we're dealing with.
Amazing.
And the only reason it was in the off position was because it must have been a sag in the power, and it has some sort of smart circuitry.
It's got its own power protection.
Right.
And that might not even be computerized. That might just be electronic.
Correct.
It detects a voltage level below a certain level for a certain time, and it goes click, and a relay goes.
Exactly. And then, of course, all smartness goes out the window. And you literally have to unplug it and plug it back in. And of course, it didn't tell me. Now, I didn't go check it. It's a refrigerator, for crying out loud. But again, my dehumidifier wants to know when I'm home. You would think the refrigerator would say, hey, buddy, I'm not working. So what are we doing? We're not getting anywhere, is what I'm saying. Are we really getting anywhere? You know, the smart technology is supposed to help you. So I will tell you, I have some hopes for the Nest thermostats to save me some money. You know, when we walk in the door, it knows you're there, right? Your phone has entered the house. So it's like, oh, I should probably kick on the heat here because, you know, the ding dong is home. So it kicks on the heat. It's kind of neat. You can do some really smart things as far as turning on and turning off and managing the temperature because it's so ridiculously expensive in this state. You got to manage every penny. And these things can do that. So it's going to take me a while, though, to recoup $1,800 to run the wires. Yeah. I did it because I wanted to. I'm a geek, number one, but the promise of being able to properly manage your thermostats rather than having a 20 plus year old manual setback thermostat that was the thing 20 years ago. I mean, do you have a setback, Dennis?
What was that?
Do you have like one of those manual setback thermostats where you set the time?
No, I don't. I have an old style one.
The old turn
style? Little turn, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's ancient.
They are.
So you're definitely a candidate for an upgrade.
Definitely.
Or you don't want to, based on my experience.
I know.
I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. We will be in Avon live next Saturday at the holiday store. Stop by and say hello, and please make a donation to the Salvation Army to support the folks here in our community that support them. Definitely a good cause. Thank you, Carolyn, for producing, as always. Thank you, Mike G, for posting everything over at our Facebook page and via X. And thank you, Dennis, for posting everything live. And eventually we're going to have a new show open when the big voice is able to do it, where Dennis won't just be a guest anymore.